you want to make money as a young teenager, get a job.
Everyone online is talking about, you can make money all online, make money all online. And I got to the point where I was just like, I don't even know if it is possible to have a 100% online business. But when I met you and I saw you were doing that and you were going, yeah, I'm taking off to Bali for a month, I thought, wow, maybe it is. What were your next steps when you decided you want to do video editing?
Went on Upwork and there was a guy, his budget was $300 US a month. It was definitely not the type of editing I would want to do. It was almost like a samurai dance performance, completely out of the blue.
Now you've worked with some big names you might not want to say on the podcast.
Is a name that I was working with for some time.
Yeah, you know, he's got what, like 100,000 subscribers on
YouTube? Yeah, 140 now. I'm introverted. The idea of putting myself out on camera, I hated, but you have to put yourself out there at one point or another.
You might not want to talk about it on the podcast, so let me know if you don't. Having a girlfriend and being an entrepreneur, how do you find that?
I mean, it's...
Welcome back to the Willbot.ai podcast. I'm your host, Will Embiid, and we have an inspiring story of grit, transformation, and building success from the ground up. My guest today is my good friend, Aiden Hoffner, another young entrepreneur, world-class video editor who's made a name for himself working with top content creators around the globe, including me. Aiden is absolutely crushing it. Just 1 year ago, he was working a minimum wage job, and now he's earning between 7 to 10K per month. Editing videos for clients all over the world. And he's only 20 years old, even though he looks like he's 28. Originally from the UK, he moved to New Zealand at 16 without knowing anyone, no connections, no one. And he's since built an impressive career in video editing. He's also amassed over 17,000 followers on TikTok, with some of his videos reaching millions of views. In this episode, we're going to share how the heck he did all of this and what it takes to do it yourself. And everything in between. Enjoy the episode. Okay. Aiden, welcome on the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Appreciate the kind words.
Means
a lot.
No worries, man. It's good to have you on. I'm sure you're used to normally watching this from the other side, editing all the clips and whatnot, but now you're actually in front of the camera.
Exactly. It's a different view, but good to do it. Spice things up.
100%. That's great. I just realized I don't have a coaster and someone's going to kill me. So
this one, bro?
I'll get one just in case.
Shoes.
Okay, from where we left off. Aiden, welcome on the podcast. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Good to be here.
Very great to have you on, my friend. You know, this is our first time doing a podcast outside of the studio as well. For anyone watching might not realize, we're in a bit of a different setup. We've gone for a more mobile episode this time. We're actually filming in the Wireless Nation boardroom. So big thank you to Wireless Nation for letting us use the space. It's much appreciated. And yeah, we're going to see how it goes. Let's enjoy it. It should be a very fun one. I mean, right now, I think the best thing to do to start is talk about your backstory, let you talk about how you got to where you are, what you've been through, everything like that. So you're killing it right now, unquestionably, but it wasn't always like this. Take me to the beginning of your journey. Tell me how you got started and what it took to get there.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. It's been, I think the first business venture was at 16, and I was basically, there was this glitch with the Xbox, and you could reuse digital games. And I saw someone on eBay doing it, trade me in New Zealand. And then managed to make a few hundred off of that. So that was the first.
That was the start of the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Bootleg games.
Exactly. But it was good. And then, done a few ventures. And then, done the standard dropshipping, affiliate marketing, NFT trading. And then didn't really get anywhere with that. Lost more money than I made. And then, but then found video editing and actually stuck at something to get the skills, so it's been good, enjoying it.
Absolutely. And now, like, so you started when you were 16. That's when, you know, you saw that spark, that entrepreneurial, oh, I can make money doing this and it's not a job. I completely get what you mean doing that, and it's exciting, right? So you saw that, and then what sort of came after that? Was it like searching up how to start a business, stuff like that? That's how you got into the drop shipping, the NFTs, everything, you know? Is that what happened?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was stumbled onto YouTube, how to make money online,
mm-hmm.
sure as everyone else has done.
Yeah.
And then none of them are actually truthful, but it started it. But then I kind of went down the boxing route and wanted to do that as a career. I kind of treated it as a job.
Or a
business venture in a way, because the end goal was to have success.
Right.
Although I did enjoy boxing, but the main goal was success from it. And did that for about 4 years and had a few fights of that. But it's a long hard road where a lot of people they're a plumber until 20, 25, and then they eventually managed to have enough money from boxing to go pro, and it wasn't really the route I wanted to do.
No,
but definitely enjoying the switch now. Glad I made that choice.
100%. So, as well, I want to backtrack a little bit on what you're talking about with the boxing. So, your family's from New Zealand, correct?
Yeah.
But you were born in the UK and grew up there. Is that what happened?
Born here, moved there at 2, and left at 16. So
spent most of your life there. And did you come back to New Zealand often to visit, or not really?
Came back twice.
Damn.
I believe I was 9 and 14, I think. So
16, that's a pretty hard age to be moving countries, leaving all your friends and everything behind.
Yeah.
And so you started boxing in the UK as well.
Yeah. Right?
And you had a fight there.
Lost that
fight. But you came back stronger, right? When you came here, you won. Right?
No, yeah, you won. Had our 4 here and won them all. So
damn.
That's
really impressive, man. Utmost respect for boxers, that's for sure.
Jeez.
Takes courage. So that's really cool. So you were sort of boxing, didn't really know what you wanted to do, going through a few different side hustles, just, you know, trying to make it, really trying to make some money. And then you came to New Zealand, kept boxing obviously, but didn't know anyone. What was that like?
It was rocky. But I mean, I had family here, came here with my first family and then extended as well. Everyone was here. So that was nice, had the comfort of that. But starting school, new one, no one except my brother and I.
Yeah.
But it was definitely rocky, but I wouldn't change it in any way. I think it's a good push, especially at that age. But you kind of adapt, because I think we got here during COVID, so it's we're in isolation. But it was kind of nice to get my head straight and just kind of be dialed in on something, focus on something. So definitely wouldn't change that at all. It was good.
It built those, would you say it built those like disciplinary values inside of you, which made you, you know, get those hard working stuff? Do you think it came from boxing, or it's just sort of, have you always been like that, you know?
I'd say kind of a bit of a mix. I think growing up, I was always interested in just kind of pushing myself, going on runs and things like that. But
yeah.
I think boxing in England was definitely like, that was the it's now or never type of thing.
Yeah.
And then dedicated that. And but New Zealand kind of was that extra push to be like, you need to get proper and serious. So that it was good.
No, that's really cool, man. Thanks for sharing that. So you're going through that. And so what age did you start? Because you tried with a few different businesses, had some varying success. And I know you had some videos on. So did you start posting on TikTok before or after you became a video editor?
I was posting before.
Okay.
But I was initially doing like the SMMA agency model. But the problem was that I wasn't good at anything. And it was more like, I'm very glad I didn't sign anyone, because I would not have been able to fill on what I was promising.
Yeah.
So it's basically a scam, in other words. But the intention, there was good intention.
So bootleg Xbox games, scamming clients with SMMA.
There was good intentions with it, but I think listening to the wrong people online. Yeah. But started the videos up kind of like to separate myself from all of the other agencies. But I think looking back at it now, I think hearing an 18-year-old talking about motivation, it's not gonna boost the business. So I definitely learned video editing from that, but I kind of quit the agency model and wanted to do like selling the ebooks, because I built up a following where I thought I'd be able to monetize from it. But stupid thing is that it's all 14-year-olds watching,
yeah,
and they've got no money. So there's not really a market there. But So yeah, got to the point where it was like, there's not much hope with this. So it's either kind of was like, okay, what am I good at? And then it was like, I've always been in shape from boxing and whatnot. So could go down like the online fitness influencer thing, which I absolutely hated. So I did not want to go down that. And then video editing was kind of building up. So decided to go down that. And then very thankful that I did, because I'm happy I'm not posing in any mirrors with a vest on.
You could have been Mike Thurston, man. What do you mean?
Maybe.
No, that's really cool to see. So you, because I know before you even started doing video editing, you were getting good views on TikTok. Like you had one video that got what, like 1.6 million
views, something like that.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. I mean, you know, even if it's a one-off, I've seen you had a lot that have got over 100,000 and stuff. And so you're how old when you were posting those videos? Like,
Started at 18.
18?
And then had a big break somewhere at 19 or so.
Yeah.
And then just focus fully on editing. But yeah, that period was just like a few videos a day, just dialing in with that really. And then, yeah, go to the evening job after.
Mm. Did you find that hard posting while at school and stuff like
that? Well, it wasn't a
people give you shit. Oh, you finished.
Yeah, it was after. So thankfully kind of managed to get out of that. But I was doing that. So I was basically finished school and then working at a restaurant, just washing dishes. And it was kind of, it was a good push because it's like you see where you do not want to be.
So no idea what you wanted to do after school? No uni, no?
Well, it was the business route. It was just a matter of what it is and when it works. So the job was almost enabled me to pay rent or boards, paid for any expenses that I had, petrol and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that was about, I don't know, 250 a week. So, I don't know, 20 hours a week working.
Yeah.
And then just throughout the day would work on the personal brand or business side of things.
Nice. That's really impressive. I mean, you know, to just go out of school and, you know, just know like this is for me, even without really having much to show for it yet. You obviously had a few videos and stuff like that. That takes balls. And your parents supported you through all that and stuff? Or were they a little bit like, should go to uni, should get a job?
I kind of had that talk previously before that about the uni thing, and they kind of accept it like it's not going to happen.
I mean
I don't really know what was going on in their mind. It wasn't spoken about much.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they were supporting in some ways, I guess.
Well, I'm sure now they're more than proud of you, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
So okay, well that's really cool. I mean, I know even when I was posting like my first videos, I was like, oh shit, do I really want to post this? Because you know, you're at school, people talk, and they're always going to give you shit. You probably didn't really know anyone, and you're a boxer. So if anyone chatted shit, right? Yeah. But yeah, I think it is. It does take courage just to post that first video and really put yourself out there, because you're leaving yourself exposed for everyone to come at you. And as soon as someone sees something like a little bit out of the ordinary that they maybe don't really understand, I think they just want to go for your throat, because it's you're an easy target. And it takes a bit of time to get through it, but my opinion definitely on it is, if anyone out there is thinking about doing it themselves, is that is the perfect place where the people who are never going to make it get weeded out. And I know I'm talking like I made it. I know I'm far from it, right? But if your friends and people around you giving you shit is the first thing that's going to, you know, stop you from doing it, then you really can't handle when it's millions of people doing it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I ever want to get to that level. I'm just saying I think that doing that alone takes courage, and it really shows a true testament to character. So respect for that. And millions of views, 17,000 followers on TikTok. Not doing too bad.
Yeah. Well, were you in school when you started?
Yeah, I was like, I remember when I posted the very first Will Bot videos, I was around 16, I think. No. God, no, I wouldn't say 16. I was 17, just turned 17. And that's when I posted the first videos. Or was I 18? Oh my God, I can't even remember. No, I was 17 when I was posting the first videos. And yeah, I was, you know, bit hesitant putting myself out there. And I remember watching the first video and it got loads of views, but it got something like 65 shares. And for the amount of views that got, you know, like 65 shares, that's all just going to people's group chats, like flaming me.
It's from school.
And I know, like, I've heard from friends of friends that, like, people chat shit, they do this, they do that. But honestly, I think I've got to the point now where everyone around me more respects it rather than anything, because they see that I'm not really out here just trying to preach a bunch of bullshit to people and say, do this, do that, do that. I'm just showing my journey. And, you know, I haven't really accomplished that much yet, but I've still sold my first business at 17, still, you know, started an online business, run a few different businesses now. So I think I've got a little bit of credibility, and you certainly do. So that's part of what helped me. And even the worst one for me was that first day in the life video. You see my day in the life video?
I was in the field. On the-
That one for me, I was like, oh, do I really want to post it? Because it was on my main Instagram. It wasn't on my business one. And I was like, oh, do I do it? Do I do it? But I actually got loads of love from it. Like, heaps of people commented that I didn't expect it. So, yeah, honestly, it's just sending it and just doing it.
Yeah, once the first one's done, it's like you've already done the hard work.
Exactly.
You can just, like, do it again. But the first one's the hardest. 100%. I didn't have enough balls to post it on the my usual social media, so yeah. I made a new one. But word eventually gets out.
It always does. It always does.
But it's good though.
Of course, of course. And I think investing in your personal brand is probably one of the best investments you can make. I've got this scheduled for later in the podcast, but we can get into it now. I mean, we'll come back to that. I want to finish by talking more about you and how you got to where you are, because, you know, I think the story keeps on getting better. So you came to New Zealand, just knew your family, started doing the personal branding stuff while you were boxing, while working, not really knowing what to do. What was it that clicked in your head or sparked the interest to start video editing for other people?
It was just that turning point of, like, what I'm doing right now is not working and there's not a market for it. So it's either the fitness stuff or video editing, and that was definitely the route I'd prefer to choose. So I was
this because you saw, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, something on YouTube or like videos of other people doing short form video editing? Was that what interested you initially, or was it just these are the two things I know how to do, work out and edit videos?
Yeah, no, definitely that one, because I saw Alex Amosi talking about it, and he was like, if you're starting out, look at what you're good at,
yeah,
and what you can grow into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I kind of did. So it wasn't necessarily a YouTube video that sparked the, well, I guess I could credit it to him, but not directly.
Right.
But yeah, it was more just what I've got a skill at that I can actually sell and make money off. So then went down that route, and then glad I did it.
Yeah, and so you decided you wanted to do video editing. What was the next step that you took? Was it just straight to sending cold DMs, or did you put a business plan in place, or what were your next steps when you decided you wanted to do video editing? Take yourself back to 18, 19 year old you, however old you were.
So I was kind of half in, half out. I went on Upwork, and then Upwork's basically a platform just applying to, like, freelancer jobs. And there was a guy charging his budget was $300 a month. And I was like, okay, I'm making nothing, so great. And then applied to it, and then it was actually the thing that, because he would have had loads of other applicants, but what got me in the position in front of him before him to choose me was the type of content I was making. Like, he was interested in boxing and things like that.
Okay.
So it was kind of just the things that can resonate with got my foot in the door. And it was definitely not the type of editing I would want to do. It was kind of like a, almost like a samurai dance performance, completely out of the blue. And I was so grateful for him, because it kind of kickstarted things. And then once I got that opportunity, I was like, okay, this is the thing I need to dial in on. So I think I worked with him maybe 5 months or so, grew the YouTube a bit, but it was just like, there was no room for growth. It was,
I think it was starting out at $300 a month.
Yeah, yeah. My hourly rate probably was about $1, $2, $2 an hour, just because it was like first client. I'm going to put everything I have into it.
Yeah, I know.
But you have to do it, because they're the humbling, but the times where you learn the most as well.
100%. And so you started with that client, and how did you get your next one?
Do you remember?
Yes. So the next one was I was doing a program from Tom Noski.
Yeah.
And then basically he's just does personal branding content.
Yeah.
And then in his community, he had a list of people that were just like more or less ideal clients. Most of them were. So I sent a message to every single one of them. But linking it back to Mosey, it was his outreach strategy. He was talking about how don't directly sell to them. Be like, do you need anyone that, or do you know anyone that would be interested?
Mm.
And then so I says like, hey name, I'm starting app video editing. Do you know anyone who would be interested? I'm in this course.
Yeah.
And then so they're kind of like, they're open to helping out. And then I'm hoping for them to be like, well, matter of fact, I need it. And that's what happened. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, managed to get a client off of that. And it was nothing crazy. I think it was 25 US a video.
Wow.
And then there was, I think 20 a month. So it was a decent, it was definitely a jump up.
Yeah.
But it was still, I think, longer hours and the hourly rate was just flat at the floor. So
that's how you start then.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it definitely takes a bit of time to realize, like, with service-based stuff. I remember when we were doing gardening, it was like, oh, well, fuck, we'll do it for $25 an hour, you know? And then you find out other people are charging $50 an hour. It's like, well, hang on a minute, what are we doing, you know? Is that sort of what happened with you when you found more market rate pricing and stuff like that? Or was it just over time realizing I can charge more for this because people are willing to pay more?
It was definitely, yeah, I was pitching myself low.
Yeah.
Because I kind of used that.
You wanted to get the clients.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm starting out so I can discount it. I mean, it worked, but it's not scalable.
Yes.
In the long run. But yeah, eventually just started throwing out nothing crazy, but just gradually increasing it. And then recently I've just found out how much people can actually charge. And then I thought I'm charging fairly high, but industry standard, it's low.
Absolutely.
So it's like, it's just like a whole new mindset shift.
Yeah. But it comes with everything, right? It comes with experience. It comes with, you know, who you've worked with, what you've done. And at that time, like, you know, you've done the samurai dancing, right?
Exactly.
Whereas now you've worked with some big names you might not want to say on the podcast, which I understand why. But we'll beep it out.
I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, there was one. Well, Dave Durand is a name that I was working with for some time, and that ended fairly recently.
Mm.
That, yeah.
Because he took it in-house, right?
He switched the business model around to do other things. But
It happens. Absolutely. And, you know, he's got, what, like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube?
Yeah, 140 now.
Which is pretty impressive to be working with. And he's in America. So you were always, which I find really interesting, because this is different how I ever did it. You were always going for clients in America and stuff like that while working from New Zealand?
Not necessarily America. Like the first client was from Germany.
Oh, really?
Second was Australia. And then the rest have been America. But it's not like I'm directly targeting them. It's just those are the people that we're willing to work with. And then... You were the first Kiwi client.
So. Was I? Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at that.
Well, good. Right. Unfortunately, I'm getting done by GST because of you.
Oh, so. News, man. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I was the first Kiwi client, helping the economy and whatnot.
Exactly.
But that's really interesting to me, because I think most people when they start is like, they'll do stuff for their uncle or for their, you know, family friend or something like that. Whereas I guess you probably didn't have it, well, you've got your family here, but probably didn't have as much connections. So you just thought, well, I may as well just start online and go all over the world. And to me, that's always been something I've been a little bit hesitant on, you know, because I think there's so many differences when it comes to like cultural and how you're supposed to communicate and everything like that, where it's just been something I've maybe been a little bit afraid of. But since we'd met, it's definitely something I'm a bit like, damn, maybe I should be doing this, you know, because you're just opening up your total addressable market by a massive amount. And if you're charging in other countries, the spending power in New Zealand is so much higher, right?
Exactly.
Which is really interesting. And then so, you know, after that, was it just, you know, you started putting systems in place, a lot of outreach, and that's how you started building up your client base? Or did it start like that? Because I know now you get a lot of referral work, which is what happens when you've been in the game a little bit longer, right?
Yeah, yeah. So... initially, it was just all cold outreach, and then I met a guy I consider a mentor partner. So working with him with some clients as well, in Florida. And then he's the guy that kind of opened all the doors for me from there. So beforehand, it was just like the smaller retainer clients.
Yeah.
And then like, even now, like I'm just as confused as I was before. It's just like different problems. But yeah. So that one opposed is something I'm not, but he's managed to help open multiple doors. So yeah, a lot of it was initially start with cold outreach, and then things kind of compound. You meet new people, they refer people, and then they refer people. So I think it's just about quality of product at that point then.
Mm. Because that's something I found, you know, I related to a lot, was at the start, it's, you know, pretty hard forcing to get those first clients, but then the snowball effect starts picking up. And as long as you're providing a good core product or service, the referrals just come, and then all of a sudden you've got more work than you know what to do with, right? That's exactly what we had with our service-based businesses. And I've had similar effects with Woolbot, a lot of referral work coming through. For people listening and starting out in business, because I don't think they realize when you talk about cold sales, the amount of persistence and numbers and effort that actually takes. How many, if you had to estimate, cold DMs do you think you've sent?
I mean, it'll be multi thousands. Like, you can't view it as like I'm going to send five and expect at least even one of them to reply.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of no after no after no.
Yeah.
And then eventually you'll find the yes after hundreds or thousands of messages. But like, you just have to do it. Like, you can't be lazy about it and expect things to come to you. Because especially now, like, even like I'd imagine for yourself as well, getting leads a year ago, 2 years ago was very different.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's just a lot harder.
100%.
Because the market, people just flooding this online space.
Yeah.
Especially with the big influencers kind of pressing it. It's like, it's completely different, but it's still doable. Like, people are still raking in money.
Yeah.
So it's not like something you should turn down.
Oh, I mean, I see in my own inbox just how many outreach messages I get all the time, you know, and sometimes I get annoyed by them, but at the same time, I always respect it because it is a grind. And what you said there about sending thousands of messages, I think is really something that if people are out there trying to start an online business or trying to get their first few customers, clients, whatever it may be, that's something to really take on board. Because I know people that try to do, like when we did door-to-door sales, when we were selling window cleaning and gardening and stuff like that, it's tough. And, you know, you'd think like you'd go out there for the whole day and you'd knock, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred houses maybe, or maybe about 150, I don't know. And you'd get four clients and it's like, shit, you know, was that really worth it? But if you think about it, that's a 4% conversion rate. And how much you can make from those clients when you compound it with how many people they can refer you to on top of that, if you do a good service and then you keep coming back and upselling and everything like that, it's actually really worth it. And you don't have the money to be spending on paid ads. You don't have the money to be doing content, everything like that when you're starting. So that's 100% the way to do it. And it's all about persistence, really.
No, exactly. Because especially at this age, most people do not have money to put into ads or just any marketing expenses, but they've got a lot of time.
Exactly.
And they have to utilize that. Otherwise, you're just waiting for something to happen.
And you've got to make the most of it while you're young, because you do have time while you're young.
Exactly.
Right?
So.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a very big takeaway, I'd say. And then we met. How did we meet? We met through a mutual friend, Ben Rogers.
Yes, shout out to Ben. It was actually one connection before that. My mate Alfie, he referred Ben to me.
Yeah.
Because he was doing the pressure washing thing.
Yeah.
He was just asking for like content advice. And then he was like, oh, I've got a mate, Will, that would actually be interested. And then there it was. So two connections later.
That's how it happened. Interesting. Yeah. You never know. New Zealand, I think, is all about connections as well. Everyone seems to be two people away. And then we got on that call. When was that? A couple months ago now?
Even longer.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Year goes fast.
Yeah.
We got on that call. I remember this guy was a sharp salesman. What you were saying to me. I was like, oh, I'm not sure. I've got a video editor at the moment, you know. Yeah. But I was like, I'll just get him to do a couple trial videos. And honestly, I was blown out of the water. You did a great job. And I was like, shit, I really should be using this guy, you know. I think the service that you offer in particular is so good, because I just give you
all the clip. I just give you the podcast and you just edit it. You know, you just know which clips are going to work well. You know to change the hook. You know what music. You know when to add the graphics, which is like the ideal solution. And that's what's always going to, in my opinion, I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, keep you different from, you know, outsourcing to overseas where it's a lot cheaper, because there's that consultancy side of that. Is that something like a lot of your other clients have also found
value? Yeah, that's a big thing that I've noticed with value as well, is that a lot of, like, I initially thought however fancy it looks, that's when the value comes in. But problem is that everyone can do that.
Yeah.
So it's more about what you're saving the client. So for example, I was saving you time just messaging back and forth, the mental stress of thinking about how it's going to be done. There's a lot more in detail for editing, but it's like there's a lot of behind the scenes things that you're actually helping the client that you may not even think about.
Mm.
So there's a lot more to it than just fancy videos.
Yeah. No, and you've actually hit the nail on the head with that. I think you described that perfectly, because at the end of the day, every entrepreneur that comes on this podcast and I talk to them says the same thing. It's about solving those problems and really addressing your market. You know, at the start, and you sometimes work that out after you start, I think. Like, you started with video editing, but then it was tailoring everything around what clients actually wanted, right? And you can use that in your sales pitch, you can use that in your marketing, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that's a really good insight. And it's something to keep in mind for people out there trying to start a business.
No, exactly.
Another question on that. Did you teach yourself video editing? And how did you learn how to do it? Because, you know, like I've seen the reels. There's some advanced editing in there compared to what I do.
It's YouTube. Like, everything's there for you. I think because, like, with editing, for example, it can go for any service. But for editing, I was already doing it for myself. So yeah, all of the time, every time I wanted to practice, I can do it for myself. But like a big service in the agency space is Facebook ads. Mm. But if you're trying to get good at that, you can't do it for yourself because you need a business on the back end. So it's like you've got YouTube there, you've got yourself, you've got all the time in the world. It's like you just piece it together.
100%. There you go. And then on that, something when I first found out about you and I got that connection from Ben saying, hey, hit this guy up, I clicked through your videos and I thought, you know, he's onto it. He's got a lot of views, clearly. Good content, good editing. Where's the website? You still, to this day, don't have any website for your business. What's the reasoning for that? And what do you think about having websites and whatnot?
I think it depends on the business. Like, I don't want to pose as this, like, successful businessman because I'm still just as confused.
Yeah.
I think for my model, I'm helping people improve their content and I need to be, and their personal brand. So I need to be a representation of that myself.
Yep.
So it's like a website, it can be good, but at the end of the day, they're going to want what I have.
Yep.
So it's like you kind of need to have it for yourself to showcase. Because if you're cold messaging people, for example, and you're pitching them a service,
yeah,
but your representation of yourself is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to give you the time of day.
Mm.
So that's something that I was really trying to switch up, because it's like you need to be an example of your service. Like, I'm still struggling with that now because TikTok's looking a bit better, but then Instagram is not, and that's what I was reaching out to people on. So it's like you have to be an example of your own service.
Absolutely. No, I definitely hear you. And hitting those algorithms is hard, man. It's random. Anyway, where I was going with that, sorry, before I get too distracted, is when I go to Open Ground and, you know, I talk to the kids doing it and everything like that, and I talk to my other friends that are trying to start a business, they all seem to be so fixated on things that I don't think really matter when you're starting, like getting a website up, registering the business, like doing a lot of stuff before they've even, you know, like talked to a potential client. And I think you're a perfect example of, you know, you're doing really well from what you're doing. You've got a business, you've got a lot of clients, and you don't even have a website. And it's really something I think people should think about when they're out there. And the reason I keep bringing this back to young entrepreneurs and everything is I know that those are probably going to be people that are watching this podcast the most, because, you know, you're a young guy, you're making a lot of money for someone your age. So I think that's definitely going to be very appealing to them. And just based on the success we had from the Open Ground podcast, that's why I'm sort of leading the conversation this way. I think, you know, you talking about not even having a website is something people should really think about.
Yeah, I mean, I wanna lay it clear with the numbers there. Like, they do fluctuate. Like this month, yeah, I mean, you said the start 7 to 10. This month I did 5. So it's like, yeah, things do fluctuate, and it's not everything what you see online or hear online is true. Well, no, I'm happy to keep forgetting that. Because, yeah, there's a lot of shite out there.
Yeah.
That people are misled by. But, like for myself, I'm still a sole trader.
Yeah.
I don't even need to register a business, because it's all, even if I had, like, I'm just running under my name. So even if I had a business name, I can still register as a sole trader.
Yeah.
And go off of that. So I'm like, I remember I bought this agency course, and I won't chuck the name out there of who posted it, but
agency course. I wonder who that was.
It's not the big guy.
Okay.
It's, but anyway, it was like the focus there was just completely off topic, because starting out, he's teaching people to go from 0 to 10 to 20K or whatever. But the problem was I was on 0, but something's happened with that camera.
No space. Has that just happened?
Yeah.
Okay, we're pausing the podcast. All right. Sorry about that. We had a slight technical difficulty there. First time filming outside of the studio though. So we're just going to pick up exactly where we left off. So, Aiden, you previously did a course. Expand on that.
So, yeah, it was an agency course. And the problem was is that it was for people in my position, and I had no business, no experience, no nothing really.
Yeah.
So I put all my money into that. And the problem was is that it was teaching the things that I should not be learning when starting out. Like, I was learning about the onboarding process and having the name and the logo and just all of the things that should be done once you've got a foundational base of clients.
Mm.
So, like, the thing that struck me and made me realize is that I'm making an onboarding process before knowing how to get clients. And the services, like, I've never even done it.
Yeah.
So it's like we're talking about how I'm a sole trader right now, don't have a website. If you just focus on the things that will actually propel the business forward, and then start doing those nitty gritty things that are important, but you can do them later on. Like,
100%.
It's so much better to learn the skills of what's going to grow the business first.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I did. Even with Wilbot, before I even had a name for the business or anything like that, I made the chatbot. I was already just making chatbots, seeing what I can build. And I got Westlake signed up. That was before I had anything registered. I even knew what the company was going to be called. And that's kind of how I ended up with the name Wilbot, because, well, it was actually my dad that came up with the name, to be honest. I can't take too much credit. But, you know, it was like, well, my name's Will, and, you know, my bots will work. It was all chatbot, chatbot, chatbot. Now it's a little bit of a different business. But that was how I ended up on the name. And then I just put together a website after I'd already had my first clients. But what you said there, I can completely agree with. It is like focusing on doing the things that's going to get you money first, and making sure that you've got the skills for people to actually want to pay you money and for the service to be worthwhile, right?
No, exactly. Because, like, I'd imagine the same for yourself. I took 3 months setting up the business before trying to get clients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm also paying for all of these fancy softwares that he's getting a commission from his affiliate link.
Absolutely.
And then I'm not making any money. So it's like, it's twisted. And like with, like, I mean, we talk about it a fair bit, about just types of business models to start in. Like the service-based model is perfect, because for me, I'm operating at 94% margins. And it's like, it's not like I'm using products to, like, or just continuous products other than subscriptions. I've got my equipment, and then it's just my time. So it's like, it's for your business as well, it's perfect starting out. But I think people get it twisted about, like, drop shipping, for example. It works for many, but starting out, you still need a bit of money to actually get it going.
Yeah.
So
that's what no one seems to get, right? They just think, oh, I get the sale and then I buy it. It's like, not quite. You got to invest a lot into the site, the ads, everything. You know, it's really, I think most people now, no, drop shipping's not quite the fairy tale that it appears to be. I mean, I remember in 2017, literally watching videos. I was about 13 years old, thinking I'm going to be a trade me drop shipper. And I kind of did something around it. It wasn't exactly drop shipping, but that's for another day to tell that story. What we were talking about just before around online courses, I think, is a really interesting one. And, you know, you and I now probably think it's common sense that most people know these YouTubers out there and these influencers who are living this lavish lifestyle and then selling a course. They're not really making money off their business, are they? They're making money off the course. And that's something to really consider. And I want to put it out there because I think a lot of people don't actually realize that, right?
No, exactly. I mean, they've still got an authority to teach because they've obviously got skin in the game.
A lot of them, sorry. Yeah. I should clarify that, actually. Not everyone. I don't think every course is terrible. I think there's a lot out there that are actually very worthwhile if you pick the right ones and you seriously vet it and you seriously understand it. Like, you've had a complete opposite experience with the Tom Noski one, right?
Yeah.
You got a lot from that. You got your first clients from that. So it's definitely paid for itself.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, going back to that SMMA one, it wasn't really accurate to what you actually needed. But that guy was making money off selling the courses and telling a good story and getting all the affiliate back payments and everything that, right? So there's always bigger things at play. I mean, I think you and I both think, you know, surely people don't listen to these influencers out there. But I literally see all the time, and it's the one that annoys me the very most on Instagram, is people talking about making money online, and then they've got stacks of cash in their hands.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, so you went to the bank and withdrew that. You know what I mean? It's just so ridiculous to me. But I think it's like a human instinctive reaction almost to see the cash. It's like seeing that shiny gold and being like, oh my God, he's got it. I should go listen to it. You know, it's not actually that impressive. Like, a lot of people could go and just pull out a whole bunch of cash and show it on the video, or go take a photo, like go to Dubai, take a picture next to the Burj Khalifa in a flash t-shirt. You know, you can look like you're doing so much better than you are for not a lot of money, right?
Exactly. I think it's like, I mean, I was in that position. I imagine you were, where you see the money and you're like,
especially when you're young.
Yeah. And they're like, he's telling the truth. Why would he be lying?
Yeah, look at this car. Look at this watch. Look at this cash.
Yeah. But I think it's like, if it's too good to be true, like, come on.
Exactly.
Because I saw there's on TikTok, I keep on getting this guy from New Zealand with stacks of cash in front.
Yeah, he follows me. Mention his name.
Yeah. So, but it's like, come on, just think about it. Because, I mean, recently, I think a couple days back, I bought into a course. So I'm doing that now. And it's been great so far. So, and I put nearly all of my money into it. So it's like, but I think the reason why I've chosen that over some sort of guaranteed profit return thing with stacks of cash, it's like, you can actually trust them, and they're doing what they're teaching, rather than they may have done it in the past and now they're so far on their journey, they're just telling you old advice.
Yeah.
So it's a problem.
Mm. And I mean, you said it yourself, right? When you started out, you learned everything 100% on YouTube, pretty much. I learned pretty much everything myself through YouTube, researching previous knowledge, and also just doing it, you know? If you've got no money, or you've got a little bit of money, you don't need to put it into a course. If you've developed a little bit more, I think it's much better to actually get in the business, understand it a little bit more, and then know what is a good course and what isn't a good course, rather than just, you know, trying to buy this get rich quick scheme, because getting rich quick, it doesn't exist. You know that as well as I do. You know, no one out there can start a business and just start making money on day one, really. I mean, it's very rare, and people that tell you that can do that are normally trying to sell you a course.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to make money as a young teenager, get a job. That's the most, this the guaranteed return.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's going to be pretty bad, and it's going to be, you're low skilled, you're going to get low amounts of money, a low wage, you're still making money rather than working at a business for 6 months on your own dropshipping thing.
Yeah.
And then chuck money into a hole that you're never going to get back.
Absolutely.
So it's like, I think I was working, I was a kitchen hand washing dishes for 2 years, but that enabled me to fund everything I needed for my business and pay for the bills.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you just have to do it. It's part of it.
Mm-hmm. You gotta put your ego in check and know where you are and just go from there, right? You know, I definitely get what you mean. But then again, Aiden, I know from my family members and also dealing with a lot of people younger, in this economy, it's pretty hard to get a job, right? So it's sort of a give or take. I think, yeah, just, I mean, there's so many ways to make money if you really think about it. Like if you were a kid and you just want to make money, you don't know what you want to do. I guarantee you, if you get your mum to post on every Facebook group, my little Jimmy's got a gardening business and he'll come mow your lawns for minimum wage, you know, he'll come be a laborer, whatever it is. You start doing all these stuffs and you really put yourself out there, you really work hard, it's going to lead to bigger opportunities and it's going to start putting money in your pocket, because there is always in an upmarket and a down market, from everyone I've spoke to that have said this, because I'm not talking like I'm an expert here, there is always opportunities to make money.
No, it isn't.
You just got to find them.
Yeah, because one of my previous clients, he said that in one of his videos, and he said, everyone, when you're young, people want to help you to take advantage of that.
Yeah, especially here in New Zealand, I found.
Exactly, because I think every auntie and uncle and friend is going to want to pay to wash their car. Mm-hmm. Even if you're making $15, it's like you have $15 now you didn't have before.
Exactly. So, yeah, you got to put your ego in check. Really just put yourself out there and start working. And it will definitely be worth it. It's about getting the experience, about getting everything, you know, realizing how you do the service, you get paid, how you sell. There's a lot of skills to be learned in just those simple little businesses like that. I mean, like maintenance, mates. I don't want to talk about it for too much because I talk about it in every podcast, but like that literally started by, not by me, but my business partner just saying, I don't want to work at New, I want to make some extra cash. Posting on Facebook, hey, anyone, you know, want some gardening, want this done, want that done? And he was just borrowing tools at the start, or even using the clients, charging like $25 an hour, which was a couple of bucks above minimum wage. And it just went from there. You just grow and you learn as you do it, you know. Never bought a course on how to start a gardening business, that's for sure.
Exactly. It's so accessible. Like, I mean, I never did any physical businesses like that.
Yeah.
But it's like anyone can do it.
Yeah,
it's a thing. Like if it's car washing, you can pick up a sponge.
Exactly.
So it's that simple. But I think it's more continuing, because at the start, it's not going to go the way you want.
Yeah.
It's never going to go the way you want, but you're going to get better over time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just literally continuing and going through it.
Yeah. And it's all swings and roundabouts. You know, it's definitely not all fairy tales. You got up weeks, you got bad weeks. It's, I know that, you know that, I'm sure. But it's all about pushing through and just working hard, really. So yeah, that's something I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. Courses, getting pretty much scammed on them. It's a surprisingly big market out there. And I think people should really consider that. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's leaves such a gap in the market for people probably more like us. And I think this is how Alex Amosi actually blew up so much, was he was never, until he started his school stuff, he was never selling anyone anything with all his content, and he got a lot of engagement from it, you know? People almost got so sick of hearing about courses, this, that, the other, all the time, and I think there's a real gap in the market now for, entrepreneurship and entertainment and everything like that, for just the raw experiences, the raw, this is what it's like, I'm not even trying to teach you anything, here's what I'm doing, here's what works, here's what doesn't work, you know? And just putting yourself out there, I think people respect that a lot more, especially when they don't see that link in your bio to go buy that course, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's about documentation. Like,
yeah.
I think with my content, I haven't directly been documenting, but from start to now, you can see the transformation.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that I learned about it was that initially I was posing as this authority. And like it was just stupid because I was talking about how to be rich and successful. And it wasn't like I was funneling people down to buy something from me. It was more just like the foundational discipline skills and things like that. And it's like, obviously they're going to be needed. It's like, you need to be disciplined to be successful. Yes. But it's like coming from me, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So I think it's, there's a big problem with posing as something people aren't.
Mm.
And so I think, like you said, that gap. There's a big gap for just transparency.
100%.
So definitely something to do. Like, I've seen a lot of people now, actually, they're just documenting on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, no thumbnail. It's just literally just a part of what the video was. And then it's like day one of dropshipping journey. And like it's, they're not teaching anything, but people can relate to it and they want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think they see the long-term vision. So maybe one day when they are doing a lot better 5 years down the track, they're like, this is what I can show for it.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason you're probably doing your videos. Definitely part of the reason I'm doing my videos. You know, it's just social proof. And I wish I started it earlier. You know, I think, to be honest, not that I'm recommending or not recommending someone. That's something Iman Gadzhi did really well, wasn't it? He's filmed and everything you can see from day one is on YouTube, you know? So even though he gets all these allegations, this, that, the other, he's still got a lot of proof to show exactly where he started from and what he did. And that's part of the reason, that's a big part of the reason why I started doing what I'm doing now. What you said on the education part, I completely agree with. And I think that's actually why, because I, you know, just out of my sort of circle of people I know, knowing on North Shore, the ones, because there's been a few that have also put themselves out there with entrepreneurship content and whatnot. And for better or for worse, I know the ones that have been more of a preaching point of view of, you know, almost I'm better than you, like this is what you should be doing, da-da-da-da-da, from an authority, normally doesn't get responded to as well as this is just me here showing what I'm doing. And I think that's probably something to think about as well for anyone out there that wants to start making personal branded content, right?
No, exactly. It's like telling people what to do and then saying this has worked for me, it may work for you. And it's also, you don't have to actually make content. Like I've got a mate doing a cleaning company.
Yeah.
He doesn't make any content or personal branding content. He films ads, but he's doing extremely well just cleaning. And that's just like started door to door like yourself and things grow up from there and then eventually paid ads.
Yeah.
It's like, not although this online business and personal branding is a big trend right now, doesn't mean that's the only option.
Yes.
There's so many other things about.
Yeah. I think we should, and you know what, personal branding really isn't for everyone. If you actually think about how many people do get to the very top of that compared to how many people there are in business, it's a very, very small fraction, right? And you definitely don't, like you said, have to be posting yourself, have to be doing a podcast, uploading videos to Instagram, YouTube, everything like that. But I think it also has its benefits at the same time.
100%.
So I think we should talk a little bit now about personal branding because you've been into it for longer than I have. But, you know, I've sort of got into it recently and I think long term, it's probably one of, if you've got the right person, and I'm not trying to say, oh, I've got such a great personality for it, but if you don't mind putting yourself out there, I think it can be a massive investment in your long-term success.
No, 100%. But also I think even if you don't think it's for you, there's ways to go about it where you can still do it how you want, but you need to do that initial push. Like,
yeah,
I'm introverted. The idea of, well, initially before I started, the idea of putting myself out on camera, I hated. And it was like even like reading an English class, reading the book out loud, like hated that.
Really?
But then it's like I understood that if the goal I have in the online space,
yeah,
I kind of need to do it. Like it doesn't matter what I want. I can still change things along the way and make it personal to me. But you have to put yourself out there at one point or another.
Wow. That's impressive, man, to really put yourself out there like that. So respect for that.
Well, I'm sure you were the same, like everyone is really.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely. Like recording those first videos, I mean, I'm probably more of an extroverted person at heart, but recording those videos and like uploading it, you're really leaving yourself open like we were talking earlier in the video, right? So, yeah, no, I get what you mean. So you mainly were doing it for... You got to do it because you're editing other people's personal brand. You were your first client.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be.
Yeah. For me, I think the reason I'm investing in my personal brand is because I think people don't realize, like, obviously it's big now with social media, but the idea of business people being, I mean, it's got its pros and cons, that's for sure. Being high profile definitely does have a lot of benefit, you know. And people think now it's obviously getting talked about all the time. But even if you go back to like Richard Branson and people like that, it was all about them. And then that was in turn promoting their businesses. I think the main reason why I decided, and also why I sort of named my company partly after me, to name it All Around Me,
is that when you're investing in your personal brand, it doesn't matter what business you're doing, you're always going to have it with you. And you're never going to be able to sell it, really. You're always going to have that influence and that following. I'm talking in the future. If I ever get to this level, I might not. I might give up and just go back to low profile. Can't take the hate comments. but you know, whatever you're doing, you're always going to be able to use that to promote your current venture. And I'm sure as an entrepreneur, you know, it's not going to be the same one from when you're 18 to when you're 60, right? But if you've got it, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're always getting attention on it, it makes it a lot easier to get a lot of different things. You know, one example, I think Richard Branson said something along the lines of, oh, they reckon I'm worth $4 billion in the paper. I'm not worth anything near that, but, you know, how else would I need money from the bank, right? Exactly. So that's one example, but that also has a lot of negatives to go with it. So I think personal branding, particularly, and sorry, I know I'm going on a bit of a rant, is probably, if you're up for it and you want to do that and you don't mind being out there, you can really leverage that to get a lot of success. And it can definitely be worth it, because it's always going to be with you. You know, I've spent a lot of money on the podcast and the videos and everything like that. I'm not afraid to say it. Almost to the point where I'm not making much money. No, they're joking. But, you know, doing all of that, if I think about what the benefit would be if I invested that money into like an index fund every single week, or if I invested it into my personal brand, if I do the numbers out to what I can actually get and what leverage you can get on that, personal brand by far makes more.
Exactly. Like I view it as a stepladder.
Yeah.
It's like a key to many doors. It's like it's going to help you in whatever direction you go. So like for editing, for example, it's kind of crucial because you're promoting a service that if you're not doing it yourself, then you're just scamming, basically. But it's, I don't know, everyone, even if you're not comfortable to do it, like I wasn't, but it's still worth doing it because it's going to open more doors. And it's not like you have to continuously post forever. Like,
yeah,
if you want to stop, you can stop. It's your own thing. Mm-hmm. It's not something you actually have to commit to.
No.
It's probably best you do, but
yeah,
you don't have to.
If you really want to get some traction out there, I would recommend it. You know, investing the time. Money maybe not as necessary, but I'm selling premium quality products. So to me, the production has to be very high quality. That's just part of my brand. But that's not necessary for every type of business, right? I've seen so many guys, like even like in the property cleaning space, for example, just recording a video. Oh, this is what my work was today. And it's a satisfying driveway wash going over the top of that. And they've got thousands of followers. I guarantee you his calendar is booked out for a month, you know, always. Same with like, I've seen the mowing man, you know, so many of those guys. Just giving a personality and a face behind your brand really, I think, makes people relate to it. And they don't realize, and I'd like to say, first of all, as well, I already had a lot of leads and whatnot come through my podcast and the clips I've uploaded and everything like that, because, you know, AI is obviously very new and I'm by no means an expert, but I know a lot more than the average person, say, would. So people see my content, they see I'm talking about it, and then they think, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. We actually need this, or we actually need that. And then they come to me, and I don't mind. I always talk with business owners that want help with something. Even if I can't help them, I can direct them to someone else, stuff like that. So that already, just from the small amount of traction that I've had, has helped me and has promoted my business, right? On the flip side of that, what I was going to say is the world we're living in now with TikTok, Reels, you know, shorts, whatever it is, you're at such an opportunity to get put in front of so many people so easily. People don't actually realize, like, if a reel gets 1,000 views, right? That's not that much. You don't think it's that much. I've had that happen so many times. My TikTok's only got like 100 followers, right? And I'll get a reel that gets like a couple thousand views, 3,000 views. If you actually think about how many people 3,000 is for making a reel, it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing that me and my partner from Florida have realized is that it's not actually about the amount of followers or views or whatever, it's the quality. Because like on TikTok, I've got 17,000 followers, but then I've received one inbound lead throughout the whole time. So it's more like, and all those followers are 14, 15, 16 year olds. Like, yeah. it's an inflated number. It looks good for credibility, but for actually powering the business, it really depends. But I think, although the inbound leads haven't been crazy for people coming to me, it's still posting that content gave me exposure, because when I was reaching out to people, they can actually see who I am.
Yes.
And that's the thing, they can refer to people.
It's your portfolio.
Exactly. Because like when people refer me, they'll send my Instagram or some social media platform page, and then they can see, rather than if they just say, this is Aiden Hoffmer, send them an email. And it's like, you don't know what you're messaging. So even if it's not successful, or you're not receiving the results you want, you're still building out a portfolio of yourself. You put it perfectly there. I've never thought about it as a portfolio, but it is.
Mm. No, well, I mean, I can definitely testify to that, because when Ben texted me and I clicked through it and I see 1.7 million views next to a video, I'm like, okay, maybe I should listen to this guy when it comes to video editing. You know what I mean? So yeah, completely agree. And yeah, personal brand, really, it does depend on what type of business you're doing, but the opportunities from it can be huge, you know? It's probably like, right, I don't know how long this whole TikTok era is going to last, because I know I have so many friends and like friends of friends talk to me. You know, I'll go out, right? And I might be somewhere with some friends, and then I'll have people who I've never met come up to me and say, I've seen your podcast, or I've seen your, that they've seen a reel, you know, they haven't seen the full episode, but it's pretty surreal feeling to me. And you don't actually realize how many people you are reaching and what impression you make. So even if you're not getting a lot of followers, even if you're not getting a lot of views, it's about sticking at it. I mean, I want to go back to Iman, because I've been watching a lot of his content recently. He had he couldn't get past 200,000 followers for, I think, 5 years, he said. And then the last 2 years, he's gone to 5.6 million, which is just crazy. But I don't think, even if he made the exact same content that he did now for the last 2 years, and he had the same amount of followers, I don't think he would have got to 5.26 million. It's because he has this massive portfolio of all this other content that you can see and you can give credibility to, which made him get to that point.
Exactly. But then I think it's also good to think about how has that impacted his business, because all of those followers now, he's making very generic content.
Yeah.
Where it's bringing in everyone from all ages, from start to more or less finish.
Yeah.
And then it's like a lot of those people, they'll be living in third world countries where they're motivated to do well, but to they have the funds to buy his course or invest in his businesses or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Homozy, he was like doing what Iman was doing, very niche specific content about building businesses or whatnot, and specific type of businesses with the agency and then the gyms. And then now Homozy, he's branched out, or he did branch out, and he's got, I don't know, 2 million subscribers or something. And he was doing cooking videos and like relationship advice. And it's like, it brings in a massive audience, but they're not the right people really. And then that's why Homozy, at least, he's going back and doing just business related content.
Yeah. I guess it's almost that like horizontal expansion, you know? They think they've sort of tapped out their market, and then they're going to do things to get maybe new markets in, which might refer the core target market. I don't know. I guess every business expands out in one way or another to reach more people. But what you're saying is true. Like, quality of who's actually following is very important. And I'm thinking about that for this podcast as well, you know, tailoring the content to what my viewers actually want to see. And that's based on the little data I have. But I think the entrepreneurship stuff definitely is what gets the most traction. I'd actually be very interested to hear from my viewers. If you guys would like, feel free to leave a comment in the comment section below of what kind of guests you want to see on. And we'll try to make that happen. I know there's not too many people listening, but hey, for the ones that are, and on that as well, feel free to message me on Instagram or anything like that. I'll definitely respond to that, and I'm always willing to have a chat. So yeah, I definitely agree. The quality over quantity is important.
Exactly.
You said you were talking about one guy who he didn't have too many followers, but the conversion rate on what he was trying to sell those followers was extremely high, right? Was he a doctor or something like that? We talked about this a few weeks ago.
I think it might have been. I think it was. I'm always mentioning it again. I keep on
But listening to the game.
But he was talking about. I don't want to give advice from someone else and claim it as mine.
It's
like you learn things as you go. But
yeah.
He was talking about how there was this lady. I think it was to do with like dental accountancy or something. Had 1,000 followers, but she was making like $1 million a year. And it was like,
wow.
There's very few people. There was like 20 odds on a newsletter, and she was converting people. So it's like, it really doesn't matter about the quantity.
If you're selling that high ticket quality of service, right? And you get into that niche, they all know each other.
Exactly.
They all refer each other. So yeah, that's definitely something to consider when going about it.
100%.
Okay. I think this has been a good conversation so far.
Been good.
I've enjoyed it. It's much more of a casual vibe. I don't know how that'll be received by people. People loved the Open Ground episode that we did, which was other young entrepreneurs. Even though you look like you're so old, I don't know how you're 20 years old, honestly. But I promise you, he is. It's really impressive to see like another young person doing well in business. And I think when we first met, you almost seemed quite shocked that there was other people, entrepreneurs in New Zealand. You obviously didn't even know about Open Ground and other programs like that who were really doing entrepreneurship. But there's actually a lot of people out there and you just don't know. You got to get in those circles and really start connecting with other people because you think the same. Like, we get along really well. And particularly what I was at, because I knew a few other entrepreneurs sort of our age. Particularly what I was really interested in with you was you were doing it online, you know, and like we're talking about course sellers and everything like that, everyone online is talking about you can make money all online, make money all online, make money all online. And honestly, like Wilbot wasn't going fantastic at that point. And I got to the point where I was just like, these guys, you know, like I don't even know if it is possible to have 100% online business, work wherever you want in the world. But when I met you and I saw you were doing that and you were going, yeah, I'm taking off to Bali for a month. I thought, wow, maybe it is. So don't get disheartened out there. Is sort of what I'm trying to say.
100%. I think, yeah, it's good to see people close by as
yeah.
Because I think from school, I didn't really meet too many people because I came here with 2 years left. So
yeah.
I kind of just had my head down, focused on boxing and then a bit of business at the end and that was it.
Mm.
So I left with my partner now of 4 years and then my mate, nearly 4 years, and then my mate Luke, who he's doing the cleaning business. So it's like you don't actually meet too many people unless you put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
But even now with the personal brand, I met you via that, but I haven't met many other people. So I think it would be good on the shore in Auckland to actually just meet other entrepreneurs as well. Because I know there's Liam Otley Oatley. He's here or nearby in New Zealand. At least like he's a major name in the AI space as well.
Talking about personal brand, Liam Otley is definitely someone that you should be talked about. I think Liam's a really cool guy. He was, you know, I remember the first video I watched of him was like his sixth video ever. That was like 18 months ago. Maybe even less, like fourth video, and he had like 10,000 subscribers. And now he's got over 200K.
It's 250.
250K. In that space of time, I was like, holy crap, that is really impressive. And he did ride the AI wave. That's definitely for sure. But he's killing it, man. And seeing like a Kiwi guy, I think he's what, like 24 years old?
Yeah, much older.
20, like traveling around the world, crushing it, making a lot of money, really living it up was like, holy crap. And he went to school like 30 minutes from here. So it's just like, it was the most surreal thing. And that's part of what I also thought, like, wow, this is possible. And yeah, Liam's really cool. And he's moved back to New Zealand as well. Be great to have him on the podcast one day. I messaged him once and he responded. He's a pretty nice guy. If you're looking to get into AI and you're starting out there, he's definitely the go-to guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all the tutorials. He was how I learned how to make my very first chatbot. I think you can kind of outgrow the content sometimes, but for a starting point, Liam's probably the perfect guy to go to if you're looking to start an AI business. Yeah, and honestly, man, what I want to go back to with this, so he got over 250K in 18 months. That, to me, really showed how obtainable it is. Because you see all these guys, and they're from Dubai. If they're not from Dubai, like, you know, they're not famous, right? They're from Dubai, America, Europe, everything like that. Seeing someone else from New Zealand close to you really makes it seem obtainable. And that's something I've found out recently. I mean, I was just traveling around Europe for a bit, and seeing all these, it was my first time in Europe, and seeing all these places and, like, you know, responding, messaging with him back and forth, it really makes you realize it's obtainable. I think when you're starting, it can seem so far away, but just as you grow up and it gets that much closer and closer and closer, you almost think, like, you know, anyone can do it if they really put their mind to it. No, which is cliche, but
there is also, there's one thing to see online, but then meeting them in person as well, like meeting you, there's someone else who's actually on the same journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you only see it online. So
yeah,
it's a major difference, especially meeting people. So it would be cool to meet up with people in Auckland at least.
Yeah, maybe we should do a meetup. that can be good.
Yeah, entrepreneur.
Yeah, community. But being in those circles, like, a lot of my friends are into entrepreneurship as well, which I definitely should introduce you to.
Cameras.
Fuck.
All right, I think we leave the other ones rolling, and then we just...
Wait,
was that died?
I believe so.
Fuck.
Yeah, we'll just...
Okay, and we're back. definitely being in any community is extremely important. I think surrounding yourself with like-minded people absolutely makes a difference. And, you know, I think once you start doing that, I'm not a big fan of that whole cutting your friends out thing. I don't know what it is, but for me personally, I like to bring my friends up. I like to, and you can't help everyone up. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Some people just don't want to get to what you want to, and that's fine. And you'll probably naturally drift with them, but you don't have to just cut people out your life like that because they're not doing the same things that you're doing. Cause everyone's different and everyone's still working it out at our age as well.
Yeah. I think there's a time and a place for it.
But yeah,
I think if they're not necessarily bringing you down, then, like, they're not doing anything bad. But if they are, then, and they're bad influences, then it's kind of like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because, like, for in England, they were my two groups. One of them were just not the right group. And then the others I'm still staying in contact with. But it's like I'm kind of forced to cut them off just because I'm moving.
Right.
But then now it's like I can kind of handpick who, well, I mean, I obviously meet the people, but it's like you have more of a say of who you want to be with. And I think it is important to have the right people around you, because, like, right now, I mean, obviously yourself, and I've got two mates and my partner, and they're the only people I really see.
Tight circle.
So, yeah, so, but I prefer that. Otherwise, it's like, I mean, it's good to see old people, but it can be a distraction if they're the wrong type of people.
I definitely agree. And that's something I was going to ask you. You might not want to talk about it on the podcast, so let me know if you don't. Having a girlfriend and being an entrepreneur, how do you find that?
I think it's good. It's because we've talked about this before.
We talked about this, yeah.
Like, I think what people put out online about it, they say it's really bad for you, it's a distraction and whatnot. But then if you look at the other side of the coin,
yeah,
you know, where we're all guys, like,
yeah,
there's that distraction there as well. So, I don't know, I've honestly found it as a positive rather than a negative as well, because I think it depends on the person. If you've got that person that you actually trust and want to be with, like, I live with her now.
Yeah.
So it's like we're not just messing about, it's not school. So it's definitely a positive push, because she's pushed me in the right direction. But then if you meet people out in a nightclub, like, you know what type of person you're going to get.
No,
it depends.
No, I'm happy for you, Aiden. I think that's actually really good, having the right person that'll be able to push you and make you better. And, I mean, it's clearly worked out for you. You guys have been together 4 years, right?
Yeah, pushing 4 years now.
Wow, congratulations. That's really good. The reason I ask is because, you know, I hear two sides of the coin from different ones of my friends, you know, and a bit from experience, maybe. But, yeah, like you said, you're never going to meet your girlfriend in a nightclub. That's the truth. Like, people are looking for one thing. And I think there is two sides of it, because having a girlfriend can be a distraction. I've seen that with my friends where they're putting more time into focusing on their relationship and spending time with them rather than working. But there's also the excuse of, you know, if you're not got a girlfriend, you always got to find one, right? So there's two sides to it. But I think finding the right person is important. But I don't know. I'm not trying to
guess it. It depends on their viewpoint as well. Because, like, if they don't believe in you and don't want the best for you, they're gonna be pulling you down.
Yeah.
So, like, for when I first met Grace, I was, like, I was heavily into boxing. Like, that was all I'd do every single day. And then I was like, boxing comes first. And then over time, I've actually kind of understood that the people in your circle, you need to kind of put them over business or whatever at some point. But I don't know. It really depends on the type of person they are. Because, like, growing up right now, like, we were just lucky. Like, we met at school. So it's not like we were actively looking for a partner. But like, in this day and age, people are all over the place. So I don't know. It really depends. But like we said, you're not going to meet your partner in a nightclub.
No.
It's like...
Absolutely.
You have to be realistic.
I have enough experience to know you don't.
Exactly.
But yeah, where I was going with that is, you know, like, you work a lot. I know you work big hours, big days and stuff like that. And having a girlfriend that understands that, like, you know, you're not just going to go work for 8 hours and then switch off. You know, you're going to have to work late at nights and stuff like that. That's really important, I think, to have a person that understands that and gets that and is willing to support you. So happy for you guys.
No, cheers. I mean, it's just communication.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Wow. Relationship advice, business advice. You get it all on this podcast. Now, Aiden, like I said, you're only 20. You've already achieved so much. The question I have, and this is a big question, I don't think you have an answer. What's next for you? You've got video editing. Is the plan to expand that business, grow it, you know, grow the personal brand? What's the big next play for you?
Obviously, I don't want to put my whole, like,
detailed
plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of in a stage now where, like, I'm still early days in video editing. Like, I went full time this year, January. So it hasn't been long. So it's not like I'm looking for an next business venture. I need to just stick to it.
Yeah.
But I do want to maybe get off the actual editing and then have a team under me. So there's, with the guy I'm working with in Florida, Nico, there's potential to grow into that with him. So I don't know. I'm playing things out really. I'm taking it as it comes. I don't want to say I'm going to do one thing and just stick to that and just kind of let my ego get in the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking it as it comes, really. But definitely I'm not going to be budging from the editing and content route.
Oh, no. I think that's a very smart thing to do. There's always shiny object syndrome, you know. I'm guilty of it in the past. This looks good, that looks good, that looks good. But really focusing on one thing and just being the best in that and growing that, I think you'll always get further long term. And it's cool to see, you know, you got so much demand coming in. I know people are always asking me all the time, who's editing your videos? Who's editing your videos? And I'm sending them all your way, man. So people are loving it. And yeah, I'm excited to see where you go in the future.
Right, I appreciate it, Will.
So, Aiden, it's been incredible hearing your story from starting over in a new country to learning from early losses in the ring to building a thriving... This is what I've got written down before we even spoke, you know. We've gone very off script for this podcast, but I think it's good, actually. Yeah. It's flowed very, very well. Building a thriving business in such a short time is actually really inspiring to see. Final question I have, and I ask absolutely every guest that comes on this podcast. I know you don't want to sound like you're from a position of authority. You're humble, obviously, but you have achieved a lot at a young age, unquestionably. What is one piece of advice you got for our listeners out there, especially the young listeners, I'd say, you know, let's say maybe they're 15, 16 years old, in your shoes, want to start a business, don't really know what to do, that you'd have to them to getting started?
I think you mentioned shiny object syndrome. I think it is truly about just sticking to one thing and developing a skill, because I kind of came to that realization as I'm washing dishes, stinking of curry. I was like, this, my skills right now, I'm washing dishes and I'm getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to build that up and get good at something. So Yeah, it's you just have to stick to it and then actually trust in the process, because like I'm Christian, I believe in God's timing and whatnot, so I genuinely just think sticking to one thing and trusting in whoever's above. So just, yeah, you have to stick with it, otherwise if you bounce from A to B to C to D, you're not actually getting anywhere, you're just going in circles.
I think that's very worthwhile advice, and that actually stacks up with a lot of what I've heard from other entrepreneurs. So yeah, I completely agree. And from my own experience, same sort of thing. You know, I've always found I got further when I've not tried to start this business, start that business, have seven at going at one time. Just focusing on one is always when I found the most success. So yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice. So Aiden, thanks so much for coming on today and sharing your journey. It's been a really good episode. I've actually really enjoyed this one outside of the studio, so a little bit different. Listeners, if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing to the Woolbot.ai podcast and leaving a review. It helps us bring more valuable content to you. To explore how AI can empower your business, check out Woolbot.ai and stay tuned for our next episode, where we're going to be bringing in more industry-leading experts, entrepreneurs, and more. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the Woolbot.ai podcast. Cheers, Aiden.